Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why does it take 200 pages for me to be invested in your character, Brandon Sanderson? Why you shouldn't read The Wheel of Time?
Why should you never read this series?
Yeah, I particularly like the book. I'm a big fan. Why do you hate it?
I'm not. I hate it. You're going to get action. Ooh, look. Toy drum. Ooh, sword fighting and all that. It's for children.
It's so long. It's so long.
Welcome back all to another Tutor Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
I'm your other host, Richard.
Today, Rich and I are destroying our favorite books of all time. These are the best of the best books and completely spoiler-free. We're not going to tell you how the plot goes down. We're just going to say spoiler-free why you should not read our favorite books. We are going to hate them today with all of our hearts.
To know if you love something, you have to know its flaws. Mm-hmm. And so in here, if we're able to properly articulate the other side, the haters out there, I'd say that demonstrates how much we truly know and love our
You talk books. A lot about my flaws. What does that mean?
Don't think too deeply into it.
I'm just thinking about it. I'm kind of getting giddy.
Surface level.
I don't know. It's kind of cool.
Surface level.
Yeah. We got how many? 9 to 10 books. We might sneak a 10th book in there.
Don't do that.
I might do that
to you.
I know
what book it is. No.
We'll see, but we have some books for you. The very first one, Rich, it means a lot to us.
It does.
No longer.
No longer.
No longer.
You should never read this book.
Do not read this book, and we will give you explicit reasons why not to.
The Lord of the Rings.
By the Fellowship of the King to start, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Fellowship of the King of the Thing.
Yes.
What? The Fellowship of the Thing. Getting right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about trite. It's a MacGuffin story. It's the Fellowship of the Thing. Hey, look, important thing is important. And now we get to see people try and destroy that thing. There we go. I just told you the whole story.
And not just that. It's so two-dimensional. There's good and evil, and there's not much in between. You are on the good or you're on the bad. You won't look at the characters. You won't look at the world.
It doesn't leave much moral ambiguity for you to stew, like, oh, which side's right, which side's wrong.
No.
It's
very clear cut and doesn't make you think beyond that. You're just going, okay, good guys, bad guys. Whereas so many others, don't smile at me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare, because this book is really bad. That's one of the aspects.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, too. When people go to watch the movies and they go to read the book, there are so many scenes in here with poetry, with going aside and giving you a story about the world in world that just stops the story. And then you get exposition and explanation from Gandalf or some other character that I guess I could say Gandalf in a spoiler free. People know Gandalf, but you get so much explanation there that it just kind of halts the progress of the story. Not to mention, if you haven't read the book yet, it's split into two parts each. And for the Fellowship of the Ring, for example, it's, what do they call it? Book one, book two, is that what Tolkien put? So
six books, technically.
Six books, yeah. In the first part of this, and then the second part of this, you get focused more on a certain character. So it you don't jump between point of views. It's very much focused in this part on certain characters. Then you jump into the next, so you don't get that new, that freshness that you could get from modern fantasy.
You can sometimes get a little, if you're really invested in one character, you'll spend a lot of time not with them.
For a long time.
Yeah. But also, this is a genuine reason of why people may not like it and may not want to read it.
All if these you've are genuine reasons.
They're all genuine. Yes. If you watch the movies, you may have a certain perception of The Lord of the Rings, of it being an action-adventure movie.
Right.
And that's what it is. That's what those movies are. The book is not an action-adventure movie. It is an adventure, but not action-adventure. It has some action in it. But it's clearly not the focus that many of the battles that take up a lot of runtime in the movies, it's like a page here and it's glossed over. There's a reason why in the movies, Aragorn is a much more important character. In the book, he is important, but as a side character. He's never like a main POV.
Yeah.
You always get to see the little guys.
Mm-hmm.
So combination of sometimes the Lord of the Rings book is not nearly as exciting as the movies can be. It's not as bombastic. You spend a lot of times in taverns just hearing stories, or you hear a song about a blonde-haired elf long ago that left her people and has now gone missing.
What does that have to do with the story?
Nothing at all.
If you're looking for a story that all the threads connect, they do not all connect by the end.
No.
No, you'll just go, oh, that's a tidbit. Thanks, Tolkien. The nerve.
Some people, you know, they see those tidbits and try and connect the dots and have a fun time, you know.
Some people read it and feel immersed like no other book can really do. But those people are being distracted with this pretentious prose that's so flowery and just trying, oh, look at me describe things. This tree branch is so tree. That's a quote, actually.
As haters like us would say, like, there's a reason Tom Bombadil was cut from the movies.
Yeah, Tom Bombadil, does he serve a purpose? You'll have to read to find out, but I don't think so.
Not as much.
I don't think so. So that's why you should not read The Lord of the Rings and The Fellowship of the Ring by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yeah. Sucks.
That's a good copy.
That's a good copy.
You like the book, but to scam somebody.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. The next book we have here,
The Sword of Kygan. Terrible book. Awful book. And you know what's even more awful about it? It's indie published, which comes with all of its connotations. If you're interested in maybe one of your trashy, no good, terrible, awful indie published books, you want to learn how to write a book like ML Wang, you can maybe check this out. This video is sponsored by Skillshare.
I'm on chapter 11 of my book right now and sometimes wonder, like, how can I hone in my writing craft here?
Skillshare is the place to go for that. They are the largest online learning community for creatives. Thousands of classes are led by actual industry experts in novel crafting, film, illustration, design, productivity, and more. Can you believe that? Actual experts.
Nice.
Not just complete hacks like Austin who've convinced you were worth your time.
And Skillshare is worth your time, I guess, unlike me, apparently. So, for example, when introducing a new character in my book, I'll wonder, okay, what's the best way to make them actually feel real, like a real person? And Skillshare has classes not just dedicated to plotting your novel, selling, publishing, all that stuff. It has specific dedicated classes to character building. For example, Sabaa Tahir has this course called Writing Authentic Fiction, How to Build a Believable Character. And she has over 20,000 members who have already taken this class. You could be the next one of them. And so she is a published author who gives actual practical advice on how to define attributes of your character, set them up in these fun interview situations, and most importantly, how to actually apply that to your writing.
There are other classes as well outside of the writing sphere, subjects ranging from coding classes to learning a new language to designing a website.
I like their learn by doing feature where you don't just take the class, but you can create projects based on what you learned, and then get feedback from other members in the community.
And Skillshare has a great offer right now. For the first 500 people to join Skillshare using our link, you get 1 month of premium membership for free.
That will be in the top of the description below. First 500 people who go click that link will get 1 month absolutely free, and you're able to check out their thousands of classes they have available.
Back to the video.
Rich, this is going to be an impossible task for me to do, but I'm going to try. I hate this book with all my heart. And
that's it.
So
remember, ingrain into your mind, it's just an Avatar, The Last Airbender ripoff.
It's a ripoff.
That's all it is.
It's a ripoff.
It's an Avatar ripoff.
Not only that, without spoiling the ending to this, spoiling it all, the finale of this book leaves you with some unnecessary additional cliffhanger questions that don't get answered. This is a standalone, and the book ends with starting another plot line gets finished.
The book ends like an episode of Adam West Batman. Same bat time.
But then Batman never comes back.
Exactly.
Just leaves you there like, okay, I thought you set up a whole nother story, now we got nothing?
Yeah.
That's major flaw.
Major flaw.
And the book starts off, and if you wouldn't like a kind of book like this, why it starts off horribly is you get this more info dumpy young character his name is Mamoru. He's about 16 in the book or so, but he goes to school, and this is first three chapters or so, but a lot of the world and lore gets dumped on you in this, in these paragraphs where a teacher's just explaining, here's how the world works, this,
In terms of info dumping, it pours. Hello, students. Let me explain the history of our people.
Sit down.
Sit down.
Let me not cook right now. Just that's what happens.
Tolkien.
Yeah.
He goes. Hey, you're at a bar, and we're gonna do a song, and this song actually is a nugget of like our wider world.
Yeah.
This one, it's hello, student. I know you've been alive, but I'm going to give you a lecture as if you've never lived in this planet before and tell you about the history of our people.
Yes.
That's how we learn about it.
Exactly. And you can get so thrown off from the start of this book because you get introduced to this Japanese-esque, Asian-inspired, this it's the Island of Kaigan, or correct me?
Kaigan.
Island of Kaigan, but you get introduced to this world, and then all of a sudden, you're kind of thinking, oh, samurai, swords, cool. All of a sudden, you see a video game. There's technology in this world, so you go from, oh, I expected more sword, that kind of tech, going back, but now all of a sudden you're questioning, okay, I thought I was getting that, but now I'm getting modern tech, and look at the cover. That doesn't give you modern tech at all.
Is that a spoiler?
No, that's the first chapter.
Fair enough.
First three pages, you get that.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Yeah,
I don't think so, but okay.
I know it is, yeah.
Mm. I know that was a big surprise for me.
I hate this book so much.
You know that, those details.
I know that detail. So, what
let's talk a little bit more about the characters.
No.
Yeah.
Why? Okay. Why do you hate the characters?
I mean, let's talk about Robin.
Robin!
There's a character
without spoiling, there's
a character in here that ultimately serves very little purpose. Ultimately a plot device that of tied in with the ending leads to nowhere and should have been trimmed down or cut to some degree. Main character wise,
that's why we hate the Sword of Kaigan, okay?
World building. Have you watched Avatar The Last Airbender?
Yes, good. Yep.
That's the magic system. Do you want me to explain further? Are there any special details of anything that makes it a little different? No. It's element bending. That's what it is.
So you're not going to get any type of new magic system. You're not going to explore
now,
the...
Some weirdos would say, hey, have you ever watched Avatar The Last Airbender and went like, hey, look, this bending system's cool, but like, what would it look like if adults used them? And you had a little bit like your restraints were lifted. I guess this kind of shows you that. But it's still a ripoff of Avatar.
It still is. And those are a lot of flaws in the book. I think we presented good flaws.
You just want to move on so quickly from this.
I think we presented all the flaws of the book, right? Can you slap it off, please?
I'll do it for
you. Yeah, Blake's. That's why we hate it. Okay. I hate this video idea. I really. Okay. Next book.
Next book
we have. Oh, but I'll shut up for this one.
All righty. The Wheel of Time.
As a series.
I'm not even just going to lean on the fact of the Eye of the World being one of the weaker novels in the series. I'm going to be talking about the series overall.
Spoiler-free. Yep.
Starting with this, but I will be spoiler-free. Why you shouldn't read The Wheel of Time. In different hands, this story could be told in three books. It is told in 14. 15 if you include the prequel. It's long.
It takes up a whole thing on the shelf.
It takes a whole shelf.
On my side of the shelf, by the way.
That is true. Yeah. Probably should move it around.
No.
But anyway, it's long. And some authors would, present your characters with challenges for them to overcome and ultimately learn their lesson, change, grow over time. Robert Jordan decides to, you know what? That's not really realistic. Really, what characters do is they face their problems, fail, overcome it, And then when they're presented with the same thing again, they fail again. They don't learn their lesson. Nobody learns their lesson.
Not a soul.
It takes five attempts. It takes five attempts for characters to actually take a hint of, oh, maybe I should trust my allies. I just haven't been doing that. And it took me five examples of my allies helping me in a time of need where I should have asked them for help. That's not a lesson you can learn right off the gate. Of course, you need 14 books to do that. That's one point. Then there's the character romances. As much as we hate on things like Fourth Wing and ACOTAR, at least there's some tension and drama in those. Like, they will, they won't, they. The push-pull of romance. What could happen? The sparks.
Yeah.
What do we get in Wheel of Time? Boy saw pretty girl and fell in love instantly. And there we go. That's the rest of the love story. Also, men and women don't get along. They're two different creatures, you know? Men are from Mars
Boys are from Jupiter to get more stupider.
That's it. That's basically it. Men are dismissive of women and going like, they're just a bunch of catty know-nothings. And then the women are like, those are a bunch of wool-headed sheep herders that don't know anything. Even though, you know, they've actually saved my life several times, I'm still not going to include them in the conversation of important matters. Why should I? They're all dumb anyway. Boys are dumb. Girls only care about their hair. They only care about dresses and buttons. Robert Jordan talks a lot about buttons. If you really care about different cultures, buttons.
Or braids.
Braids. Especially. Lots of braids.
A lot of braid tugging.
Like she tugs her own braid. Not in that way you're thinking.
What?
Gross people.
What way?
It's fine.
Oh.
Anyway. God, I'm not even scratching the surface. Do you want a completely all original fantasy series with unique concepts and a fantastical world that you haven't seen before? That's not what you're going to get here. You're going to get, hey, what if Lord of the Rings was a little bit different? What if we had Lord of the Rings, but hey, Dune had that thing called the, you know, the...
Spies?
No.
Worms?
There's a lot of things. What? Dune has the...
Quasi-Hadarach?
The Quasi-Hadarach. The Dune has...
Mohadib?
Let's add that to it.
You're saying the Aes Sedai? Oh.
The Aes Sedai, which is
the... You're saying the Bene Gesserit.
The Bene Gesserit. That's cool. Let's throw that into Lord of the Rings. Hey, you know, the Fremen. That's really cool from Dune. Let's throw that into Lord of the Rings. And we put that all in there. Oh, the Chosen One being doomed, like, is actually going to doom the world? Let's throw that into Lord of the Rings. Let's do that. That's what you get. I could really keep going. I want you to understand how much I love this series. Really?
No, you don't.
I don't love it.
No, you don't. No, you just this one time. One time. Okay.
Oh, God. What else could I talk about? Let's see. I talked about the characters being incredibly annoying and can't learn their lessons to save their freaking lives. Yep. Then we also have the world itself being incredibly unoriginal. It is basically Lord of the Rings and Dune combined into one. Yeah, there's direct references. Like, some would say a reference and homage. Others would say a ripoff.
I don't know who would say that.
I would say it's a ripoff.
Yep.
It's an homage. God, what else are we talking?
I can't speak
writing,
on this one.
Writing story. Like,
this is all you.
The fact that this is 14 books. Could this have been shortened? No, you get to see every single day of their entire lives of importance. Even the sucky days, even the boring days, you get to see them all. Plot lines take several books to complete.
Use that author magic of time skips. Oh, sorry.
None of that.
I shouldn't jump in. I'm sorry.
No, none of that. Author can skip the boring parts. Robert Jordan decides not to skip the boring parts. We get to see all the parts. Oh. This is kind of therapeutic. I like this.
Yeah.
The action.
Still going.
You know how modern fantasy loves to give great action where you get to see the battle happening of like where the character comes in with their sword and you can picture in your head what exactly is happening. Darrow with Red Rising is able to like chop through characters and it's a picture in your mind. It's a movie in your mind.
Yeah.
Instead, what Robert Jordan does, it says Rand uses the crane of the flowing sword. Counter that with the enemy using Cat on the High Walk. Then Rand counters with sheathing the sword. What did I describe? You have no idea what's going on. You have no clue what's going on. He just uses words. He uses names of sword forms. And that's the fighting. Yeah. Is that enough? You don't want me to keep
going? I gently put it down because you know why you're doing this to me?
Why?
You know why you're doing this?
Why am I doing this?
Because of our next book that's up.
Yeah. I went hard in the paint. I could keep going.
Red Rising. Why?
This is all you.
Does Red Rising suck? Oh, thank you. So not jointly. But why does Red Rising suck? Why should you never read this series?
Yeah, I particularly like the book. I'm a big fan. Why do you hate it?
I'm not. I hate it. Reason number one why I hate it is this is both advertised as a science fiction book. And immediately when you go to read Red Rising, you'll find out two things. Much like what he was talking about with The Wheel of Time, you will find out how trite and cliche it is of another book like The Hunger Games. You expect going in sci-fi and you end up getting simple things like grav boots and science terms that don't really matter or affect the story very much at all. Kind of just plops in there. And you just get a remake of The Hunger Games. You'll start this book going, okay, Red Rising, the Reds are going to rise, right? This is what the book's about. And then you get a book of Hunger Games. And you're going, oh, neat, I guess. But it also comes off, it doesn't just do Hunger Games in a new sci-fi element way. It pretty much rehashes very similar themes coming from Hunger Games. And on top of that, you'll notice this is Pierce Brown's first ever published book. The prose in this can come across as extremely YA in that sense. This is advertised more for adults as well, has adult themes, but the prose itself is very much like, sure, you can cut through, do this, that. The explanations of how things are done is just very much, there's a line in here at some point where that Darrow is straight up talking to you and just saying, I was once grizzled and da 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 da. And it comes off like an angsty, weird teen, but he's 16 to 18 in this story and comes across it. But the story doesn't target towards 16 to 18 year olds. So you're all confused going like, what, how do you even label a book like this? Who do you advertise this to? I don't know. So I have one more comment on this. You talked about the writing aspect.
What about the characters?
Here's why the characters suck. Okay.
Yeah. Why does Darrow of Lycos?
Big reason why Darrow of Lycos sucks is he's a Gary Stu. Let's be honest with this. When you go to read a story and you want a character that doesn't just have flaws, but they are prevented. There's consequences to their actions. You see, okay, they don't just breeze through things. This is not your book. Darrow and other characters in this cast, you'll find out that things kind of just work sometimes. I won't spoil anything for you, but you'll realize you'll get frustrated at seeing how Darrow is able to accomplish tasks, or sometimes he'll kind of get a little setback, but the setback is so minuscule because he just gets a bigger victory that comes. He comes across as all of his traits that will seem like flaws aren't actually brought to be flaws in this book. You'll see that, it's presented. They'll tell you this is a flaw. Pierce Brown will say, Darrow is like this, and then you will see no example of Darrow being like that because it just works out for him in the end. And similarly, the romance and love story in this, the way the romance works, I'm trying to keep spoiler-free here, he will be able to get in and out of relationships with somewhat ease. I'll just leave it at that. You'll present it in one way. You're just like, whoa, that changed quick. So the book is so fast-paced that oftentimes you can just go, how did the plot change like that so drastically, so quickly? Especially, this doesn't take place over a crazy long time. I think the whole book is a year, 2 years, something like that, not even. So much changes here. And you have this character who's a Gary Stu. It's very hard to follow and get invested in whatsoever. We were talking about Lord of the Rings earlier, the good versus bad. This one won't even, sure, there's some characters that can get a little morally gray, but it's just hard to find a character you can actually go, that's a real person with flaws, wants, and needs. You won't get that here. You're going to get action, toy, drum, sword fighting and all that. It's for children. Okay. If you want to read actual literature and be a thought-provoking thing, we want thought-provokingness, want to think, have a message, a theme that sticks with you and go, wow, that's a book I read. I can look back at. I learned something. There was something to gather there. Don't read this book. Don't read this book. You're going to try to get some blind entertainment. Go watch. What's not TBS? What's that one that with all the 90 Day Fiancé, TLC? Go TLC, watch 90 Day Fiancé.
CBS.
Go watch one of those shows. No, the one with the 100. The
CBS.
Not CBS.
It's the CW?
The CW channel.
The CW.
Go watch the CW channel if you just want blind entertainment, because you could find that everywhere. The reason books are so great is you get to take something that tests you or that takes you through the test of time. This is nothing. You'll forgettable, cool action, whatever. Get on to the next one. And the series on from there, it continues a lot of those as well. And there's plenty of complaints to go around.
Man, what a surprising point of view. I really liked The Red Rising. Some would say I'm a big fan. So I'm really surprised by your thoughts.
Next book. This next one. Jointly, Richard. We can come in joint and say why we both
hate
The Way of Kings.
The Way of Kings.
Stormlight Archive as a whole.
I've read this book twice now.
Gotta get the sleeves up for this one.
Oh, yeah. I've read this book twice. Double the amount of hate. I could hate this more accurately.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going we're flying out the Dragonsteel today.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so this is why we hate The Way of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say? Why is it so awful?
It's so long. It's so long!
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This book is...
Is the back page not on there? What happened?
I let the book out to a friend who did not take care of it very well.
That's right. Yeah.
1,258 pages. That's what it says in the back of the book, because there's no cover.
There could be a couple pages ripped off that we don't...
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of book.
Yep.
There's only three POVs. Well... Real main POVs.
There's other POVs.
There's interludes and things, but
the book starts off with you have prelude, prologue, prelude, which 5,000 years ago, prologue area, then chapter one starts, and the chapter one is also a flashback looking back at something, and then you get to modern day stuff happening.
I'll be honest, the first time I actually, when I first read this book, the first moment I was actually invested and started having a modicum amount of interest.
Yeah.
Hyperbole. Was basically like 200.
Page 300, maybe?
Somewhere around there.
Page 200 or so? 200 pages.
200 pages.
To start getting invested.
Yeah.
In a story.
You compare that to something like
Andy Weir's book.
Yeah. I loved it. Page one, I'm invested in your character. Why does it take 200 pages for me to be invested in your character, Brandon Sanderson?
Especially, you have all these expectations. It's such a long book. Your expectations are going to be so high. You're going, I've been reading this book for weeks, a month. This better be good. Even if it's a great ending, even if it satisfies you, is it worth reading this book for a month when you could have read four books in that time? We're here for such a limited time on Earth. What if I just read four great, awesome books? Okay, even if I got one great book, which it's not. Why do that? Why waste the time?
Yeah. No, we're just talking about the length here. Yeah. You want to get into characters.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, you get very stereotypical characters. Like, when they're introduced, you know exactly what their role is.
They don't change. Not that they don't change. It's just that
They don't buck your expectations.
Yeah, your feelings toward the character doesn't really change and wane. It's just you're either rooting from them for the beginning or you're against them from the beginning.
Yeah.
It doesn't go, ooh, love to hate. It doesn't mix the characters up and have you at different points in their lives. It's characters presented. I know how I'm supposed to feel about this character.
Ah, this character's a good one.
Good.
Got it.
Cool. I will root for that character.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you got.
Not really a lot of complexity there. So
what about the world?
The world. This is one of those things of I know there are people out there who read fantasy necessarily for the history, the richness. And when they start to see the technical, like, hey, how exactly does this magic rock work? Yeah. They don't care. They want to know about the people, the history. In that sense, The Way of Kings feels a little empty. There's a lot of information and there's a lot of world building done on how the Krem and how the little creatures live in these crevices on this shattered plains. But hey, what's the history of the main
Roshar, the world, Alethkar, the country? Yeah.
Yeah. They're a warmongering people. That's about it. That's all you get. What?
I got a bigger complaint on top of that. This, if you don't know, Stormlight is a part of the wider Cosmere. Sanderson has this Cosmere, this universe of all these interconnecting books.
We totally need another multiverse.
And on series. Top of that, when you're reading this, there's sometimes the joy people get out of the books are the Easter eggs. And the, oh, this connects to that. Well, when you're just going in reading Way of Kings, what if you haven't read all the Cosmere books? So already this is long enough, and you got to read another 40 books to understand, like, oh, that's such a cool moment because I read volume 3 of the epic series he wrote 3 years ago. So a lot of the joy you could get is just there's so much required reading even to get all you can possibly get out of books in the Stormlight Archive.
I don't want my fantasy book to require homework before I read my fantasy book.
You're damn right.
Yeah, terrible.
So, did we cover that well enough?
I think we did our best.
Yeah, we hate that book.
We're going off to Dragonsteel right now.
Yeah, well, we have a flight in like 2 hours. But next book we got is...
Next on the list.
This I'll let you take this away.
This is for me. Hyperion by Dan Simmons.
I like this book enough. I
hated it.
I like it.
It's awful. I'm going to get into this.
Go ahead.
Now, there are people that try and read fantasy and have a certain perception of sci-fi readers as being pretentious.
Read off the first line.
First line
will give you that feeling. Here, go ahead, Rich. Yeah, just great.
The hegemony consul sat on the balcony of his ebony spaceship and played Rachmaninoff's Prelude in C-sharp minor on an ancient but well-maintained Steinway, while great green saurian things surged and bellowed in the swamps below.
That's one sentence.
That screams pretentiousness, and I know I got the word wrong. Sue me. What is this story? It is... The Canterbury Tales in Space. You've read that, you know the story. Then you're done. Mm. You get several different POVs, little flashback short stories. You get to hear about their lives. Some of them are more interesting than others. You get to play around with some genres, but ultimately, are you invested in the main story of what's going on? No, not particularly. It's the people are going up to a place. That was it. And along the way, you get pretentious words like that first line there. You have characters that I'm trying to be as spoiler-less as possible. You get character motivations in the sense of, oh, that person wronged me. I'm going to go on my case of revenge. Or, oh, I'm in torturous pain and trying to find relief, the escape of death. Things like that. Ugh.
Might want me to help you with a point like that?
I actually would like help.
So
there's one character.
The story is structured in a way there are seven characters, or there's six different parts in this story. If you start to get invested in a certain character, because it's like the Canterbury Tales, you are told, you are given a story of these characters' background. They're in a spaceship going to see what's called the Shrike. And they are on this tale of how they got into the spaceship, and they're explaining their backstory of why are you going to see the Shrike? What is your story? As the characters go and tell their story, if you start to get invested in one of the characters' story, you go, oh, this is a really good story. This is a great tale. That's the last you'll hear of their tale. Done. On to the next one. Even if you start to like one, you go, oh, that's a great one. Now here's the problem. There's six stories in here. What if you dislike half of them? What if three of the stories are even great? The other three, you're going, that's kind of lackluster. Because you have different genres in this book. It's hard to put a genre on it. Yes, it's sci-fi, horror-esque. But then you have mystery in there.
There's a there's a classic noir mystery storytelling. Yep. There's a
horror,
classic horror. There's a
soldier
space adventure type yep. story. Then there's a your mystical long distance like romance type yep. story in here. Then
lots
one
like
of
that.
Them has a it's a standard story, like just
yep, just a story,
standard adventure.
Yep,
and not even adventure. It's funny. Actually, this is the funniest part. Everyone else is telling like this weird story, and like
are you they're going the like, poets?
Yeah, the poet.
Yeah, like, everyone without, spoiler free, spoiler free. Yep.
Everyone else is giving like this genre filled story when they're asked like, "Hey, how'd you get here?" They're telling just this kind of complex story of their life. And one of them is asked, like, okay, why are you here? He's a pretty straightforward of, like,
here's yeah, how I got here.
Here's how I got here. Here's where I started, and here's where I ended up, and that's why I'm here.
Yep.
He was very straightforward.
So if you...
I don't even know what genre that... That's a sci... It's just a sci-fi novel. That, like, that story is just, sci-fi story about time.
Yep. So if there's a lot to like in here, there's just as much to dislike. Because yeah. you want to read a book, you want to read one good story. So sometimes what a book is.
Oh, it, even yeah. better.
Go ahead.
This ending was chopped off. Basically, the author was like had a whole book, and then the publisher said, too long, cut it in half. It's a cliffhanger ending.
Yeah.
I'll say that outright.
Cliffhanger, yep.
It just, at one point, stops.
Over.
Just like you think, oh, okay, we're getting somewhere, and then ends. No payoff, no nothing. So.
Gone with it.
Yeah.
That is Hyperion and why you should not read Hyperion.
Yep. Next one.
Okay. Next we have, oh yes, because we lost a physical book. I have mine back home. But here we go. Can they see it? Good. It's tough to see, but American Gods. American Gods.
Just going to post that right there.
Now, Rich, do you mind if I start with this?
Because that just turns off.
They get the point. It's American Gods. There you go.
There.
American Gods. Now, I think I like this book way more than... Yeah.
I still like it, but you like it more than me.
Why I hate this book.
Yes.
Why I hate this book is, imagine this. Neil Gaiman, British writer. Imagine a British person trying to tell you what America is.
Insulting.
This British guy comes and he has a little vacation in America. And also he says, oh, I have a book idea. I'm going to say what the American culture is. And he writes a book about America. And to a lot of people, we'll get it wrong. To a lot of other people, even if he's someone who knows about it, he hammers in the point so constantly. You're like, I get the point. Why is the book not Way of Kings long, but I get it. Every single thing you're doing is just saying the same message in a different way. Okay, I get that this is your thought on America. Great. Cool. Got it, buddy. And so when he presents this story, you got something there?
Just America's culture being one
keep it specific, just because people will find it out. Yeah,
fair
yeah.
enough.
I don't want to get too with what his answer is, but yes.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. But his entire look at this, and then you'll kind of read into it and go, okay, this main character's name, Shadow. You get introduced to Shadow, and he's a very, what's the word we use when we reviewed the book? We had a good word for him, not misanthropic, but he's a very much a character that lets things happen, just goes with the flow.
He's a passive character.
Passive character, goes with the flow, and not active in the way where if you want a character, they make decisions, they change the story, you see where things go. No, it's just Shadow's there, things are happening.
There are very dynamic things that happen around the character and to the character, mm-hmm. and their reaction to it makes you just go like,
oh,
if the character doesn't care, why should I care?
Exactly. Exactly. So you have this character, you're not going to get great enthralling dynamic characters in this book. The theme and the message is either heavy-handed or you'll disagree with. And then when it comes to the world, it's just in America. Describes America. So it's not high fantasy. You're not going to get those fantasy elements from it. So what does it have to offer other than a British person condescendingly explaining to you, British-splaining, what you are, America.
Brit-splaining.
Yeah, those damn Brits.
We do have a habit of like importing Brits over here. To then
explain stuff just because their accents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Damn you, Brits.
I'm not a fan.
I especially hate this book right here.
Yeah.
Can I slap this?
No.
Bang!
This is a very overly expensive e-reader.
It's like a small iPad. Yeah.
Yeah, I spent like $300 on it.
Oh, I wish I slapped it. Okay. Next one we got, Rich. Do you want to introduce? Because we just said American Gods. It is only apt that the next one we do is
Small Gods by Terry Pratchett.
Oh, Terry. Oh, Terry. Another British guy.
Another British guy.
How many do we hate?
Telling us what to think.
God damn it.
Terry. Ugh. A lot of British authors.
Take
on this
it away
list.
For Small Gods.
Okay.
Please. I insist.
All right. Hey, do you want to hear an atheist position on what the nature of God is?
That's what you get.
That's what you get. Guess what? God's kind of silly. The faith? Ugh. How silly is it that you believe in a big old sky daddy? That's what, you know, Terry Pratchett gives you.
Why is this prose so bad, Rich? Tell me, why is the... It's really hard to read, isn't it?
There's not a single chapter in here. You've heard of run-on sentences before, right?
Yes.
He has run-on chapters.
Yes.
It's one chapter not that goes through the whole book.
Yeah.
There's no breaks.
There's little dots. See these dots in there? That's all you got.
Don't bend that book
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Be careful.
Okay. I hate it so much, I just wanted to. So tell us about this run-on chapters.
Basically, it gives you no breaks. It's just and-thens. And it just continues on. It pontificates upon itself.
Yes, it just continues.
The writing style itself. You know how typically the standard advice to authors is show, don't tell. Terry Pratchett says, how about no? What if I just tell all the time and show you some? That's his method, where he will often, instead of integrating an idea, an aspect of the world into the story, into the dialogue, into the plot itself, he just puts an asterisk next to a sentence, and then you go down to the bottom of the page and you read a narrator's insert of actually how the world functions, and just a little nugget on the world or a nugget about the character that he couldn't fit into the actual story.
Mm.
And truly, that's the height of laziness.
Mm.
It really is.
Yeah.
His jokes as well. You have to understand multiple subjects of interest, that you have to understand nuances or little... You have to understand some surface level amount of faith and science for you to pick up every joke.
It's not welcoming to all readers.
No, it isn't. No. Well, it also has funny fart jokes along with philosophical
jokes.
It's
also not that if it has too much of everything.
It's too much.
It's no it's what you too want much. What you want is niching down to a certain audience. This
I
want to
focus.
This often just is all over. It's like, "Oh, this can't be for everybody."
For example, like a punchline will have both fart joke level humor and nature like a philosophical faith-based joke and then also a scientific joke all rolled into one. Huh. And you know what? Pick one, Terry. You don't need to
complaint.
You don't need three punchlines for one joke.
Another complaint too. The main character in here, Brother, is very similar to other characters he does in other Discworld books. Mort, for example. He kind of has this character caricature he puts into a book, and little differences here and there, but really you could just fill them in with the other one.
Very replaceable type characters.
Replaceable type of character there. Just pop him in.
Yeah.
Switch this one with that
one. What fundamental difference is there between Brother and Mort?
Some, but...
Yeah.
More similar than not.
Exactly.
So, if you're looking for those characters, themes, anything, again, this is just another one of them Brits.
Another
That's
one
what it comes
Brits
down to.
Telling you what to think.
Let's place this gently. There you go. Let's
I'm
take
not
care
even
of that
pretend
one.
Smacking this.
Yeah, no, don't put that down. Okay, we now have The Lions of El Rasan, which we both gave 5 stars, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Mine definitely is 5-star now if I didn't before. So, The Lions of El Rasan by Guy Gavriel K. Would you like to take this away?
I took away the last one.
I'll take it away?
Yeah.
Lions of El Rasan by Guy Gavriel K. Now, this is a historical fantasy of sorts. It takes place in medieval Spain. Now, for one, when you hear historical fantasy, when you hear, okay, medieval Spain, all those kind of words, if that's a genre for you, here's why it's not for you. The world that is presented in medieval Spain takes a lot of inspiration from the rule. So it takes, like, instead of called Spain, it's called Esperanza. And the locations you go in this world are jumps around. You have Fasana, I believe, is the city in the middle. But regardless, all these places that you go to and the characters that you meet, you will get, I think in total it's 20. Am I wrong? I want to check how many chapters this is in total. Let me look. You get, less than 20, 16 or 17 chapters in this book. Not a lot of chapters, but you follow seven point of views in that timeline there and jump between them. So you get a lot of point of views for how few of chapters there are in this book. And the big complaint I have about this, the major big complaint I have about this, I'm going to find it.
You don't have enough time with a character to really connect with them.
Yeah, let me find like a real good complaint though. Okay.
You're trying to find it?
I got it. Okay.
I got it.
I got a big one. A lot of this book relies on its ending. I think the ending is what can really floor some people and really get you to love and see the whole point of the book. But to get to that ending, the meandering and some, okay. Here's these two characters. Rodrigo and Amar are two of your main characters in this book, and they are both of these masculine, big, they represent the opposite forces in this war, which is a place in for Christians and a place in for Muslims. It's a big allegory on Jews, Muslims, Christians, how war works. And you have these two characters that are basically these emblematic characters just on opposite sides, very similar in many ways. Ooh, look, strong hero on one side, strong on the other side, and you gotta help me out. I really love this book.
Sidestep. We'll jump back to
something.
The world.
Yeah.
There normally needs to be C.S. Lewis, a video we talked about. We keep bringing it up nowadays. Of if you're going to go into a medium of sci-fi, or you're going to go into the medium of fantasy, you should use it effectively to elevate the story. This being a historical fantasy novel, there is fantasy elements to it, but you could remove it entirely, and it really does not affect this book at all. Could be cut into. This could just be historical fiction, but no, you add magic to it.
Yeah.
Very unnecessarily.
Yeah.
On top of that, the fact that it is historical fiction, complete fiction, it is such clear allegories for,
over-the-top allegories.
Yeah, where it is Christians, Muslims, and Jews. But we call them fantasy
Jadites.
Jadites.
And Asherites. And
then we actually have the locations of being centered around Spain. Going over events that actually did happen. Like broad scoping events that happened in real history.
Yeah.
And yet it's all done in a fantasy realm. So
yeah.
there's a weird thing of it's one foot in, one foot out. Like if you're going to go with historical fantasy, like based it on something historical but then take it a step further. Comparing this to something like Between Two Fires is historical fantasy, where it is historical in the sense of it's in our world dealing with, demons and gods, but it goes a step further, taking the idea of the Black Plague and adding a fantasy element to it, and then two steps into it. The fantasy element of it, the fiction, cannot be removed from the story and still be the same.
This one it can, easily.
This one it can, and is that kind of a waste of a genre? Wait, it's a waste of the setting.
Historical fantasy, though, I think it's historical fiction is what it's labeled as. I don't think it's labeled as fantasy, but
that kind of kills my argument.
I like the point you're making, though. It's great. You did great, bud.
I do my best.
Here's another thing that sucks about it. The characters. Mm-hmm. The characters, you're introduced to this cast of characters from an omniscient point of view as well. It's not first person. If you want to get invested and get, in the head of these characters, a lot of the times this omniscient, the way Guy Gavriel's K's prose works, it can be difficult to even take out the clinical aspect of this. It's very much presented
in
a way.
Tell, not show.
Yeah.
You don't see how the characters act as much as you are told how they are.
That's not exactly, but
I know.
But sometimes that happens.
Damn it.
We tried with this last one. Lions of El-Rassan, we hate the book. Okay, another reason why I hate the book. Mm. Let's just go on to the next one. Last one, Rich.
There is no last one.
Yes, there is.
That's
there's
the
one
end
more.
Of my list.
No, there's one more.
No, there isn't.
Lonesome Dove. Why do you hate Lonesome Dove, Rich?
Pull it off the shelf.
I'm halfway through right now, so don't spoil, especially don't spoil me. I'm literally halfway through the book okay. right now as we speak. I'll say, I didn't finish the book, but it's pretty good. Why do you hate it?
It's my least favorite book of all time. I've never read a book worse than this. It really is at the pinnacle of suck.
So next episode, what are we doing, Rich?
I'll fix something. Hold
no,
on.
I don't.
Is there a
flaw? I don't think we could take another hour of their time.
Is there a flaw?
I'm halfway through. Can I say a flaw?
You can go ahead and try.
The book feels incomplete. We'll see. We'll see what the review
goes. We'll find out.
Say one thing.
It's not a fantasy novel.
Shit. Okay, no, it didn't hurt your other books. Okay. Rich, want to close this off?
Yeah.
We trashed some books. We
trashed some books. If it's not obvious by now, read those books.
And then come back to us. Tell us why you hated it.
Did we do a good enough job actually trashing? Any of you guys actually hate these books? Did we do a good enough job showing the other side?
Yeah.
Is there any book on this list that you actually do really hate? Did we do a good job presenting your opinions?
A lot of those books, too, came right from our patrons who always support. Thank you for supporting us, patrons. Check link this below. But also, wanted to remember to do this. Skillshare sponsored us this episode. Wasn't that nice of them?
That was kind of them. I like it when they send us money.
Yeah. Thanks, Skillshare.
Thanks.
For the money in the sport and sponsoring us. And I guess the last thing to leave people with, Rich, is of all these books that we just said we hated, and we did another episode where we said all these books, we basically trashed books we loved here. The other one, we said books that we loved and, wait, reverse
opposite.
That. Opposite. Books we loved, we trashed here. The other one was awful books that we said we loved.
Yes.
Do you think we could do an episode where it's books we've just felt mid about? Like, books that were mid and us describing why they're mid? Is there any? I think this series has to either end or that's the only thing left. I got nothing.
I mean, there's more books that I love that we could try and trash. We could just do a part two to
this.
We
could do a part. If people like this, we could do a part two.
I have more books I like than I hate. So that's why I don't hate many books. Yeah. I find many books underwhelming.
Then maybe books we thought were mid that we love.
Yeah, we could do that.
If people like this series, we recorded both of these before having any release. So who knows if people like this. We enjoyed it.
It's
so
fun.
We might just throw something else out there. But all right, thanks for watching. We'll see you next episode.
Bye, all.
Bye-bye.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.